Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're going to begin teaching in the last chapter of the book of James. We're up to James chapter 5, so I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to James chapter 5. We'll be looking today at the first six verses. So James chapter 5, follow along if you're able to, as I begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." One of the things about James, he does not tiptoe around the truth. James is a very practical book, and James tackles the difficult subjects. I've really enjoyed studying the book of James. Well, today, I just have to warn you, today's lesson, as the old farmer would say, is going to give us both barrels. He's very adamant here in addressing those who are rich. But not just anybody who is rich. There's two things about these particular rich people that he's addressing in today's lesson that we need to take note of. First of all, these people are rich not because they're necessarily good entrepreneurs, but they have made their riches by cheating and stealing and on the backs of workers who have been mistreated. And the second aspect of these particular rich people that James is addressing is their relationship with their money, with their riches. It's not a healthy relationship because they actually trust in their riches, and they make their riches, they make their money, their God. And James takes them on. I want us to consider what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." These to whom James is addressing are those who are trusting in their riches. And James reminds them, they shall fall. In verse number 1, we see a day of reckoning is coming. He says, "Go to now." That means, listen to me, ye rich men. "Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." In other words, burst out in crying and weeping and howling because of the tragedy that is about to happen to you. James is addressing it to those who have a misplaced trust. Now, the question that we have today is James addressing lost businessmen, or is he addressing Christian businessmen? And there's some evidence, perhaps both ways. A lot of folks believe that these are unbelievers, and they may, in fact, be. In James chapter 2, if you remember when James wrote in verses 6 and 7, he wrote, "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called?" Obviously, in chapter 2, the rich men there are unbelievers who are blaspheming God. But perhaps they are also professors within the church who were not rich toward God, but made money their God. For in James chapter 4 and verse number 13, we learned that where James wrote, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He was addressing in that portion of Scripture, perhaps Christians who were not seeking the will of God in the business decisions that they were making. My point is this, that regardless of whether these are unbelievers or professors within the church who may or may not be believers, there's something for each of us to apply to our lives in today's lesson. You can't just sit there today and say, oh, I'm not one of those rich people. Well, maybe not. But as we look at their motives and we look at their actions, there's certainly some areas in our lives that we need to examine and that are applicable for us. But in verse number one, a day of reckoning is coming. Divine punishment is inevitable for these to whom James is writing. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, now notice he didn't say money, he said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then he addresses Timothy here and he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, as we get to verses 2 and 3, James wrote, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. You'll notice here that the riches that they are selfishly hoarding up are not being used. They're just being hoarded up and collected, and he describes them as becoming rusty and tarnished and so forth. Why? Because they're not being used for anything. They're just kept back for selfish reasons. And so earthly possessions are not permanent to us. Do you realize today that death separates us from our money? Yeah, I know you realize that, but we need to be reminded. Death separates us from our money. Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Earthly possessions are not permanent. God offers a better portfolio or a better investment for us. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then down in chapter 6 of verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in Luke 12, the Lord spoke a parable, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. These rich that James is addressing selfishly hoarded wealth, and it will witness to their greed on the day of judgment. Evidence of a wasted life, of wasted resources, and James put it bluntly, and shall eat your flesh like fire. But notice something interesting at the end of verse 3. He said, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Now think about that, the last days. Do you realize today that we are living in the last days? The last days are the time between Christ's first and his second coming. And the Bible tells us that we're living in the last days. In Acts chapter number 2, during the day of Pentecost, Peter was standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Now let me stop there for just a moment. There were some exciting things happening on the day of Pentecost. Peter was preaching, people were speaking to one another in languages that they had not previously studied, and those that were watching this wondered at these things. And so Peter is explaining them. And he goes on and says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is what the Old Testament had prophesied. And he says this, "And it shall come to pass," notice this, "in the last days." That's the days in which we live. "Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." We as believers today are to live in anticipation of the Lord's return. We're looking forward to the rapture. We're looking forward to the time that Jesus comes back to receive his own unto himself. The writer of Hebrews wrote, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days," there's that phrase again, "spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." My point is, Christian, these rich men were living at the same time. But because they were not trusting in God, they were not living their lives in anticipation for the Lord's return, and they were selfishly building up their money account, selfishly building up their riches and letting it sit there, not being used for God's glory or for God's purposes. But we as Christians, God holds us to a higher standard. He holds us to a higher position, for the Bible teaches that we are stewards of that which God has lent to us. Everything that we own is literally God's. Our bank accounts, our cars, our houses, our belongings, whatever it is that you have as a Christian, they are God's, and we are simply stewards. But not these that James is addressing. They did not live their lives in anticipation of the Lord's return. Well, as we get down to verse number 4, we learn that your victims witness against you, you rich men. Look at verse 4. "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Those whose pay you withheld cry for justice." Why? Because these rich men have defrauded them. Recently, I've been listening to the teaching of J. Vernon McGee about Jacob and Uncle Laban, and how that Laban changed his wages 10 times during his sojourn there with his uncle. And he just was doing whatever was best for Laban. God had plans for Jacob, and Jacob had to move on and leave Laban and so forth. It's a very interesting story there that I was listening to him teach, but we're reminded of Laban and how he treated Jacob. Well, these rich men that James is addressing here was real similar to Laban. They did what was best for them and not for those that worked for them. And so they were guilty of fraud. During this time in history, it seemed to be that there were rich people and there were poor people. And sometimes the poor people got in so much debt, they would have to sell their property. And then they'd have to work, perhaps even their own property, to still pay towards the debt that they owed, to the point where the landowners could take those debt owners to court and receive a judgment against them. And sometimes they could be locked away or put away and lose everything that they had simply because of the debt that they could not pay. And even though these actions may have been legal, does not necessarily make them right. You see, your victims witness against you because you're guilty of fraud, James says. The Lord of hosts hears their cries. The Lord Almighty commands the armies of heaven and earth, and he hears the cries of those who have been victimized. We're reminded of the story of David and Goliath as found in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. You remember this big giant Goliath would come out and the armies of Israel would be on one side and the armies of the Philistines would be on the other side. And he would come out and say, send me a man to go to battle with me and we'll settle this man to man. And no one would step forward, from the king down to the rest of the people. No one would take on Goliath. But when David heard him blaspheming the name of the Lord, his passion was moved within him, and he said, I will go. I will go. God has used me to kill the bear. He's used me to kill the lion, to protect the sheep. I will go. And the account is given to us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 43 through 45. Listen to this. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, now listen what David said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Do you understand that's what James is talking about? He's talking about how the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. This same Almighty God that took little old David, that youthful young man, and took him and used him as a tool to kill Goliath, is the same God that hears our cries when we are being mistreated. My friend, God takes note. And then at verse number 5 of our text, listen to me, rich man, your life has been a waste. The Bible says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. In other words, you have lived in luxury and indulgence on the earth. As I was studying for this lesson, I read of an example that was given of a rich sheikh somewhere in the other part of the world where they produced oil or whatnot, and he had more money than he knew what to do with. And so what he would do, he would buy a new car, perhaps a Mercedes or some expensive exotic car, and it came with a full tank of gas. And he had so much money that when he ran out of gas, instead of getting more gas, he simply bought another new car. What a waste. Ye have lived in luxury and indulgence. The key word here is on the earth. On the earth. Everything you have accumulated will perish. Now let me say, God is not against money. God is not against pleasure or having nice things. However, we are warned as Christians not to adopt the world's standards. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is not against money. We all have to have money. I had lunch today, and guess what? It had to be bought with money. Money is not moral or non-moral. It's just a tool. But when a person puts their trust in that money instead of trusting God, or if a person loves money to the extent that they devote their life and all of their energies and resources just to make more money, just to hoard it selfishly, my friend, that is wrong. And that's what God is against. Now, the Bible tells us here in this verse that they have fattened their hearts in the day of slaughter. What that means is they have just built up all of their riches based upon selfishness. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, and we read this earlier, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then in Matthew 16:26, a verse that ought to get all of our attention, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" They had fattened their hearts in the day of slaughter. The picture here is that of a calf that's been fattened, ready to go to the slaughterhouse. That is what James is saying here to the rich man. You have fattened your hearts in selfishness, ready and prepared for the judgment. Now we conclude our lesson today in verse number 6. James writes, "Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." In other words, your day of calling shots will be over, rich man. They are guilty of murder. Guilty of murder. Something interesting that I found in my studies, John MacArthur, he sees a progression in the verses that we've been studying today. I want to share what he wrote concerning these verses. He says, "This describes the next step in the sinful progression of the rich. Hoarding led to fraud, which led to self-indulgence. Finally, that overindulgence has consumed the rich to the point that they will do anything to sustain their lifestyle, even to the point of destroying the lives of those victims, those workers, of whom they've taken advantage of, defrauded of their property, defrauded of their means of making a living, all because of their desire of more wealth. The oppression of the poor in taking away their livelihood." One writer wrote in the Life Application Bible Commentary, I like what he wrote. He said, "James is confronting a mindset that treats others without regard for their dignity, conspires to cheat them out of everything, defrauds them of possessions and wages, and disregards the very lives of those who have been mistreated." Back in those days, many of the poor would work one day and expect their wages to be paid that day because they needed those wages to eat for them and their family the following day. That's how important it was that people were treated right. You see, the defenseless poor only hope is to cry out to God. John Phillips wrote, "James, with the fervor of an Old Testament prophet, reminds the unscrupulous rich people of this world that their wicked oppression of the poor does not go unnoticed." My friend, if you are at the receiving end of an unscrupulous business authority, we do cry out to God, and He does hear us. And I promise you, there's coming a day of judgment when God will make all things right. But until that day, each of us, as a Christian, should treat others with respect and dignity. If you're in a place of authority, we need to treat everybody the same. Remember, James talked about, if a rich man comes into your assembly or a poor man, we treat them the same. And then if we're at the blunt end of being mistreated, we trust God because we know He will make all things right. Be faithful and be true. May God richly bless you today. Until next time.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.